been preaching it for a long time. And there's, you know, one thing about the Word of God, the more you study, the more you know that you don't know. And you just, you can never know all the Word of God. There's always more to learn. Amen. If you would, I want to share something before we read. We're going to be reading out of Acts chapter 3, so you can be turning there. I went to a men's conference back in February at my son-in-law's church there in Raleigh, Providence Church in Raleigh. And they had a fellow there by the name of Justice Paul Newby. Have you ever heard of him? Paul Newby is on the North Carolina Supreme Court. He is running for Chief Justice this year. But he gave some statistics that I thought were startling to me, and I want to share them with you. He said, I'm quoting Justice Paul Newby on the North Carolina Supreme Court, over 50,000 people a year die to opioids, and one-third higher than that die to death-related incidents with alcohol. I think that's a startling number. Can you imagine? Have you thought about what drugs and alcohol is doing to our families? He said that 11% of Americans have a substance abuse problem. 11%. He also said, and I thought this was startling, he said at Harvard Law School, and these are young men and young women going to Harvard Law School, an Ivy League school, and they're going there to be lawyers. Out of a class of 1,500 students at Harvard, over one half of them were clinically depressed. What? Going to be a lawyer, going to Harvard Law School, and out of a class of 1,500, half of them being clinically depressed? He also said in North Korea, this was in February, 87 people in North Korea were killed because they had a few Bible verses in their possession. Now, you and I, we walk into the church, we've got our Bibles under our arms, we got Bibles in our cars, we got Bibles in our homes, and we take it for granted. But in North Korea, just having a few Bible verses in your possession, you can be killed. But Justice Newby also said a few other things. I want to quote him. He said that he believes that we will be forced by the government, right here in America, to celebrate, not tolerate, but celebrate alternative lifestyle and abortion at any stage. And if the church does not agree to do that, he believes the churches will be charged with hate crime within the next 5 to 10 years. Well, think about that. That is someone on the North Carolina Supreme Court who believes that the church may have to go underground in the next 5 to 10 years. He also made a couple more statements, and we'll read the Word of God. In California, at the age of 12, a child can get free counseling to change their gender without parental consent. And one more. It is against the law right now in California for a pastor to counsel a young man or young woman about biblical gender ID. You say, Brother Carl, why do you share that? I'll tell you why I share that. I believe that our country is in a moral crisis. I believe that we are seeing lawlessness across our land. We are seeing chaos. And I believe it's a result of not being the country that we were founded on. We have gotten away from God. And we are in a crisis. And when our kids come to Harvest, guess what? No fault of their own. When our kids come to Crisis, they find themselves in a crisis. Let's read from Acts chapter 3. The Bible says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Verse 16. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Let's pray. Lord, I'm so thankful to be able to be here at First Free Will Baptist Church in Morehead City. Thank you for Brother James Bradley and his dear family. And I pray your blessings upon this new baby that's coming into Brother Bradley's family. And I pray for this church that they will again surround this family with their love. And I pray for the people in Morehead City that they might realize there is a church here that cares about them. And Lord, I pray that we'll understand that we're in a crisis. We are in a moral crisis, and there's a need across this country for we as Christians to be strong and for our churches to be what we're supposed to be. So I pray, Holy Ghost, today that you will convict us. And I pray, Holy Ghost, today that you will enlighten us with the word. And I pray, Lord Jesus, now that you will forgive me of anything in my life. I want to honor you today with this message. I want to bring glory to your name. And I pray today that that will happen here in this message. In Jesus' name, and amen. There is a theological term called regeneration. It is that instantaneous moment when the Holy Ghost of God moves into a heart of a believer. When you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? I came out of a Pentecostal church where they believed you got the Holy Ghost later. I'm telling you right now, we get as much of the Holy Ghost when we're saved as we'll ever get. But you know what? We can yield ourselves and we can be filled and refilled many times over. But guess what? I am glad for that day when I realized I was lost. I remember that day when I was regenerated, when I was changed from a sinner to a saint. I was 15 years old. I had not drank alcohol. I had not done anything immoral. I was raised in a Christian home. And guess what? Just because you're raised in a Christian home, just because you don't drink and do drugs and immoral, guess what? You're still as lost can be until you have the blood of Jesus applied. Can I tell you something this morning? If you've got Jesus on your side, you've got the power to overcome the enemy. And I know the enemy is coming against us as individuals, and he's coming against the church. And guess what? The enemy, his name is Satan, and he's not going to stop. You're going to fight the devil until you go to heaven. So we are in a battle. Wait, this is a battle this morning. It's not a playground. This is a battlefield that we're in. So guess what? Since we're in a crisis, let's talk about some things here in this passage that we must deal with when we're in a crisis. First of all, there was two companions that came walking by. Their names are Peter and John. Can I tell you something this morning? You and I need to have friends. You were not born to be isolated. Sometimes I've known Christians that they think they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You've got to mingle. You got to get out among people. If you're going to win anybody, you got to get out among them. That don't mean you have to go to the bars. It don't mean you have to participate in their sin. But if you're going to win anybody to the Lord, you're going to have to love them. And you're going to have to show them that there is another way besides this old worldly way. Well, guess what? Here's a crippled man. He's been laying there at the gate. Along comes Peter and John. And Peter and John had been good buddies. Oh, by the way, Jesus had friends. Jesus had 12 disciples. One of them was deceitful. You know about old Judas. But guess what? Jesus had three close friends, Peter and James and John. And here's Peter and John. And by the way, Peter and John's personalities were very different. I'm going to say something to you this morning. I think I can get by with this. Your former pastor, Brother Jerry Johnson, had a personality. And your pastor now, Brother James Bradley, has a personality. And you know what? I love both of them. But if you compare those guys, guess what? No doubt their personalities are different. Well, guess what? Peter and John were different. Let me talk about Peter for a minute. Peter was zealous. He was eager. He was impulsive. He was energetic. And he was aggressive. If you've got that kind of personality, it will get you in trouble. I know, because I've got that kind of personality. And I've been in trouble. Brother, I've been in trouble in the ministry. Peter was, you might say, the prominent of the 12 apostles. And guess what? He got in trouble a lot. Let's talk about John now. John was the apostle whom Jesus loved. When you see the picture of the Lord's Supper, you'll see this disciple who's got his head laid over on the bosom of Jesus. That's supposed to be John the Baptist. John the Baptist was there at the Transfiguration. He was there at the Garden of Gethsemane. And here is Peter and John with different personalities, and God is going to use them together. Listen to me, church. We are made up with different personalities all across this church this morning. But if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, we have got to practice loving each other. Can I get an amen? We have to practice loving each other. You know what I've learned, Brother Bradley? Some people are easier to love than others. Some people have different personalities. They're altogether different than mine. And you know what? Sometimes we connect with people that have personalities a lot like us. But you know what we need to do? We need to work on loving those people whose personalities are different than us. Jesus did. Peter and John were pillars in the church. They were on their way to church at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which I think is a strange time to be going to church. But guess what? They were good friends. Peter and John had been in the fishing business. They had prepared the last Passover for Jesus. They both had ran to the empty tomb on that first Easter, and now they are on their way to church. They are devoted to God, but guess what? They don't have any money. Look what it says here. Peter saw this crippled man in verse 4 and fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And the crippled man gave heed, expecting to receive something of them. But what did Peter say? Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Some people think that if we keep the preacher poor, we can keep him humble. Now, I know that's not your philosophy here. We want to take care of our pastors, amen. Our missionaries, amen. Sister Barker, amen. But here was a crippled man. He was begging. He was looking for silver and gold. You know what? Sometimes we as grandparents, I'm going to talk to the grandparents for a minute now. I'm not letting you off the hook. Sometimes we have the idea, well, my grandchild's doing pretty good. They graduated from high school. My grandchild's got a good job. My grandchild's got a good wife, got married, got a good wife. Amen, that's good. They got a good house. They might even have a RV. They might even have a cabin over in the mountains. All that's fine. But if your kids and your grandkids have all that and don't have Jesus, they're in trouble. Because your kids and your grandkids are not going to see you in heaven if they don't know Jesus. And so here was a crippled man, and he's crying out for silver and gold. And Peter says, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give we thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." So first of all, in this crisis, we see two companions with different personalities coming along, being led by the Lord. Number two, we find that there was a crippled man there. If you read in chapter 4, you will find that for 40 years, this man was carried and laid at the gate. Notice what it says in verse 2. A certain man, lame, we don't know what his name was. He was lame from his mother's womb. For 40 years, he had never had the muscles in his ankles to work. The bones in his legs had not worked. And he was carried and laid here at the gate of the temple. Why? Because a lot of people were going in out of the temple gate. But guess what happens this day? Peter said, look what he says here. He says, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up." Well, no, notice the next verse. "And Peter took him by the right hand." I believe as soon as that crippled man reached up and took Peter's hand by faith and believed what Peter said, he was made whole. Look what it says. Verse 7. "He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." For 40 years, this man had never walked. And all of a sudden, he's standing. Can you imagine that this morning? Can you imagine never being able to walk, and all of a sudden he's standing? Notice verse 8. Yeah. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Man, I'm telling you right now, when I got saved on that Thursday night in revival, Brother Brownlee, when I got saved that night, I wanted to hug everybody in that church. I didn't care whether they was bald-headed. I didn't care whether they was wide-headed. I didn't care whether they was skinny or fat, ugly or pretty. I wanted to hug everybody because the love of Christ came into my heart and changed me from a sinner to a saint. All of a sudden, here's a crippled man. He's been laying there for 40 years. All of a sudden, man, he's walking and leaping and praising God, and he wants to go to church with them. Woo! Why are you here this morning? I believe when you're in love with the Lord and he has changed your life, he's blessed you like he has, we want to come to church and worship him. I hope you didn't get out of bed this morning and say, oh man, it's Sunday morning. Boy, if I don't go down there to the church, Brother James is going to be disappointed with me, and his wife is going to call me on the phone, and oh, I better go to church. No, no, no. If you're here this morning, you've been saved. You're on your way to heaven. You're a child of God. You're in the family of God. You ought to be happy that you've been able to walk through those doors this morning. Hey, last week, a fellow that we know in the ministry named Carl Sexton, he preached a message last Sunday and he died Thursday morning. You see, folks, we don't know when our last day is on this earth, but it's a coming. We're either going to go by the grave or go by the rapture, but either way, we're going to leave here, and guess what? If you've got Jesus, you're on your way to heaven. So let's move along. We've talked about the companions, Peter and John. We've talked about the cripple, but now let's talk about the crowd. Look at verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew. Now, in the New Testament, when a miracle was done by Jesus or his disciples, it caused the people to wonder with amazement at what had happened. You see, when you watch these TV preachers, somebody's supposed to have this gift of healing, and they'll say, put your money in here. They call it seed money. And then they'll have somebody come in. They'll have a cane or they'll have a crutch, and then they'll breathe on them, and all of a sudden they'll throw the crutch up there. You and I don't know whether that person ever even needed that crutch or not. But in the Bible, when Jesus or one of his disciples healed somebody, they all knew, and it caused it to be filled with wonder and amazement. And here in verse 10, as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto the porch that is called Solomon. Notice this, they were greatly wondering. Hey, what just happened? Here's a man who'd never walked for 40 years. He'd never walked. He's sitting here begging. And all of a sudden, this man's walking and leaping and praising God. Let's notice what Peter did now. What I tell you about Peter? Peter's very aggressive. Peter's one of those preachers that will get in your face when you don't like it. By the way, if you've got a preacher that will name sin and preach against sin, you ought to be thankful for that. Notice what Peter did. When Peter saw it, saw what? He saw all these people wondering with amazement. He said, you men of Israel. Now, Peter was a Jew, right? He says to those Jewish people, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holy living? You know what Peter's getting ready to do? He's not going to take the credit. Brother James, I'm going to preach now. It don't matter who gets the credit down here at the church. It don't matter. It don't matter who gets the credit. If it's the song leader, if it's the organ player, if it's the piano player, if it's the vacation Bible school worker, it don't matter as long as Jesus gets his credit. Amen. If I come back next year, if Brother James will let me come back next year, and I hope he will. I got a date for you, by the way. If we come back next year and this church is doubled in attendance, you know what you're probably going to be saying to me? Oh, Brother Carl, we love our little, we call him our little preacher. He's such a great guy. But if I come back next year, about half the crowd's here. Well, he's running everybody off. Better get rid of him. Can I tell you something? It ain't always the preacher's credit when people come in, and it ain't always the preacher's fault when somebody leaves. Can I get an amen? I pastored for a number of years. People will come and people will go. Peter preached, and Peter saw these Jewish people. He said, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look upon us as though by our power or our holy? But notice what he says in verse 13. They knew who the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob was. And here's what he said. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son, Jesus. Woo! Stay with me now. Jesus is the one who is worthy of our praise. Me and my wife were in a service just like this a couple weeks ago. And Brother James, I'm bragging on the Lord now because I can't save nobody. But we gave the invitation at the end of the service after this message right here. And an 80-year-old man came and gave his heart to Jesus. And another man, 54 years old or 55 years old, came and gave his heart. You know what? It's the Word of God. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. When the Word of God is preached, the Holy Ghost draws people on their, he convicts people and draws them. Guess what? That's how you're saved. But notice what Peter goes on to say. He says, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. But notice what's, now he didn't stop there. Whom ye, he looked at him right eyeball to eyeball and said, but you delivered Jesus up and you denied him in the presence of Pilate when Pilate was going to let him go. You remember that? Pilate wanted to let Jesus go, but guess what? What did you say? Crucify him, crucify him. And what did Peter say in verse 14? But you denied the Holy One and the just, and you desired a murderer. Who was that murderer? Barabbas. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Look at verse 16. I'll be done. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of y'all. In closing, I want to share this. I believe that this illustrates what salvation is. I believe this crippled man is a picture of salvation. I'll share it real quickly. Number one, this man was born lame. All of us are born sinners, and we are unable to walk to please God. Guess what? That's the way it is. Number two, this man was poor. We as sinners are bankrupt before God. There is a sin debt that's hanging over our head. Man, I'll tell you what, it's good to be debt-free. Anybody debt-free? My house is paid for. My cars is paid for. My kids are out of college. They married hairy-legged boys. They're taking care of themselves. And guess what? Me and my wife can travel and not be worried about all that other stuff. It's a good place to be, but it took me 63 years to get here, preacher. But can I tell you something? I'm glad that I'm out of debt this morning because my sin debt's been taken care of. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, and he said, it is finished. Tetelestai. The debt has been paid in full. I can take you to my house right now and I can show you a piece of paper that says my house has been paid in full. There's a seal on that thing. Paid. Brother James, you don't really ever own your house. I got a bill the other day for $1,750 for my real estate tax for this year living in Wake County. You see, you don't ever quit paying. You have to pay all the way to the grave and then afterwards. This man was born lame. He was born poor. He was also outside the temple. As sinners, we are outside of the grace of God until the Holy Ghost comes in. And then this man was healed wholly. And you and I, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace, that's called God's favor, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't put enough money in the offering plate to buy your way to heaven. You can't go in that baptistry enough to find your way to heaven. The only way you can go to heaven is through the person of Jesus Christ. And then finally, this man is now able to stand. This morning, I stand here by the grace of God. I stand here today representing children. I want you to think about this now. Think about your kids. Just think about your kids for a minute. What if your kids' mom and daddy was on dope? What if your kids were left out somewhere and just neglected? Didn't get proper clothing, didn't get proper food, just neglected? What if your kids or your grandkids were abused, either emotionally or sexually? It's a sad day when kids are being abused. But guess what? It's happening all across this country, amen? And then what if today, if you just got a troubled kid, man, there's a lot of troubled kids right now. They've not been in school. They don't know what school's going to be like. And they're very troubled kids, and they need some encouragement. Today, God is speaking to your heart and to my heart. He wants us to be stable parents. He wants us to be stable grandparents. And he wants our kids to know that they can have peace and they can trust in him to get them and get us through this life. Amen. Let's pray.